God, we do thank you for each one of those boys and girls. We thank you for the delight that you have in each one of them. We thank you that you look upon all of us here, that you look upon us with love. Such love that you did come to walk and live among us and to show us the way. Help us to follow you, even this morning. Grant us ears to hear what you are saying to us. In the midst of all of our fears and anxieties, the troubles of our world, help us to listen to what you're saying to us. So that in the midst of the craziness of our world, of our lives, we might hear the good news and believe it. We might hear you and believe you and follow you on the way of life, true life, like you have created us to live it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So these past couple of weeks, we've been talking about 1 Peter. This letter that the Apostle Peter, you know, the one who walked with, can you imagine this? I mean, you talk about these geese who get to listen to Gloria, the goose. Peter and James and John and Andrew walked with Jesus and learned from him, from his talking, from his teaching, but also far more importantly from how he lived, what God is like, because God came to show us what God is like through Jesus and to show us what truly alive human beings are, what it means to truly live life. And so these past couple of weeks, as we've entered into this book, this letter that Peter wrote to some of the Christians living in what we now know as northern Turkey, he's been talking to them, as we've mentioned, about how blessed they are if they put their faith in God through Jesus Christ, if they believe this good news, that God loves us so much that he came to be with us, to die for us, to rise for us, to give us his spirit so we can live this new life. If we're willing to just say, Jesus, be Lord of my life, be Savior of my life, that we can be born anew, we can have this new life that we were created to live. Peter talks to these people who are going through an incredibly difficult time. Persecution is rising up in the Roman Empire, starting with the Emperor Nero there in Rome and rippling out into the countryside. And it's come to where they live. And these folks who have been born anew, have this new life in Christ, are finding that because they're following Jesus, because they're Christians, the world is casting them out. They're getting shunned by their families and by their friends, by their community. They're losing their jobs. Some of them are even losing their lives. And it's to these people that Peter writes and says, you need to know that whatever the world says about you, whatever happens to you, you need to know that you are a chosen people. It's what we talked about last week. A royal priesthood. That you are a holy nation. God's own people. You know, once you were no people at all, but now, no matter what the world says to you, you are God's people. You can live this life that you've been born anew to live. And today we come to chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, where Peter kind of turns a corner. Having told them that you've got this new life, that God loves you, that he's created you anew in Christ to live this life, he turns the corner and says, now let's live it. Let's live this life that you've been created to live. Because so often what happens, and what's certainly happening there, is that we turn our lives over to Christ. We say we want to follow you. We thank you, God, for this new life you've given me. And then we go on our merry way, waddling around the field instead of flying as God created us to fly. We have been created anew, not to go on living our life as it always was. We don't just say, Jesus, come and help me with my life. We say, I give you my life. Help me to live the life you created me to live. You're calling me to live. It makes me think of a story. I've got to, one more time, I kind of almost promise I won't talk about the New England Patriots for another year at least. Did anybody notice he won the Super Bowl last week, by the way? I know there are mixed feelings at best here about that team and about Tom Brady. But I want to tell you a story I heard while I was watching the Super Bowl last week that has just stuck with me. I can't let it go as I think about this passage from Peter. Sports Illustrated had an article, 2012, a man named Brandon Spikes. He was playing for the Patriots. And he had had the best year he'd ever had. He was just, as he put it, off the charts. He really thought he was going to make it into the Pro Bowl. And he didn't. And he was just devastated. He's in the locker room, sitting there with tears in his eyes. And his friends, the other people on the team, are coming around him and saying, it'll be okay, you know, you deserved it, you should have gotten it, and, you know, next year it'll be better, and that kind of thing. And then Tom Brady comes walking up, and he says, get over it, would you? You think we're here to make it into the Pro Bowl? We're here to get rings. We're here to win the Super Bowl. I don't play this game to get to the Super Bowl. That's what it's about here. And Brandon Spikes says that turned the corner for him. He is quoted in Sports Illustrated by saying, that's when I realized the environment that I was in, how blessed I was. Do you realize what a blessing it is to realize that you're no longer here to live for your own glory? That you might rise or you might fall, you might get crushed, it just doesn't matter. You're here for something bigger than just you. And the Apostle Peter writes to us here, and he says, get your heads up, get it together. Don't you realize you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people? Not so that you can get ahead in this world, so that the world will think you're terrific. You are here to proclaim the mighty acts of him who brought you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Get it together, would you, Salem Covenant Church? Mark Patty? You think you're here just to add Jesus so you get a little bit better in life than you used to? Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you got to deny yourself. Maybe I should stop there. Take up your cross daily and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. But those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, you know, that's that mission, that good news that we're called to live out in this world, to proclaim. Those who lose their life, let go of that life, turn away from that life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, they will save it. Praise be to God. That's why Peter writes to these people. They're going through far worse things than you and I are. No matter how bad you might think life is for you, for our world, no matter how good or bad you might think the government is that we're living under right now, no matter how good or bad you might think the community, all the opportunities or the lack thereof, these folks are literally losing their lives. And Peter, and we'll talk about this in the coming weeks, writes to them and says, get it together. Lift up your heads. You can even rejoice in the face of this because your mission is on. And it may well be that in the face of this adversity, you have the very opportunity for which you were created, for which you were picked for this team, chosen as God's royal people. Do you understand this? We're going to look at two verses right now. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. And Scott McKnight, others as well, commentating on this passage, say these are the pivotal verses in the whole of the book, the letter of the Apostle Peter. In these two verses, and we'll take a little bit of time to look at them, he looks back at what he's been saying about once you were no people, but now you're God's people, how blessed we are, and he'll look forward to what it means for us to live out this new life in Christ. Hear now the word of God. Beloved, I urge you, as aliens and exiles, to abstain from the desires of the flesh that wage war against the soul. Conduct yourselves honorably among the Gentiles, so that though they malign you as evildoers, they may see your honorable deeds and glorify God when he comes to judge. So what does it mean for us to live this new life? In these two verses, just so much. Living our new life in Christ means, first of all, and I love the way Peter starts out this passage, he uses one word. Did you catch it? He calls them beloved. The first thing that we need to know to live out this life we've been created to live is who we now are. No matter what anybody else says about who you are, this is what God says about who you are. You are loved. We've got to know who we are. And so you can get up in the morning, no matter what it is you're facing in the day ahead. You can go to bed at night, no matter what you've done or didn't do during the day, no matter what happened to you, all through the day you can say these words, I am loved. Would you say that with me? I am loved. And you can take a deep breath. Let it sink in. You know, when you're feeling insecure, when you're feeling threatened, when you're feeling afraid, whatever's going on in your life, you can say, I am loved. Isn't that good news? No matter what happens. Imagine what this meant for these people undergoing persecution. Your life may be lost today. And you can say as you die, I am loved. And count on it. But I want you to hear, this isn't small print. I want you to hear what else Peter says. He says, beloved, I urge you as aliens and exiles. Did you catch that? So pretty interesting to think. I am loved, and I'm also a stranger in this world now. You know, once I belonged to this world, once I wanted to get ahead in this world, that was what it was all about. But now, I don't belong to this world. I'm an alien. That means I belong elsewhere. I'm living here in this foreign land. I don't have the same rights and privileges of the citizens of this country. But this is where, well, as Jesus says, I've been sent. I'm here not simply to enjoy the land that I'm living in, but to serve my king's, my kingdom's purposes here. But I'm an alien here. I'm a stranger, an exile. We've got to let that reality sink into our hearts and minds too. Because if you're anything like me, I have this tendency to want the world to like me also. To want to get ahead in this world. To have the respect of the world. And Jesus says, let that go. You're loved and you're going to live as an exile, an alien, a stranger in this world. You're going to be in this world, but not of this world. As Ramon Pastrano was talking about in the Sunday school class, you're going to be sent into this world in Jesus' name. As the Father sent me, so I send you. That's why we're here now. Not for our own purposes, but to fulfill the purposes of God, God's mission in this world. So first, we need to know who we are. You're loved, and you're an alien and an exile. The second thing that he says in here is that we need to aim our ambitions and our desires in the right direction. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and exiles to abstain from the desires of the flesh that wage war against the soul. The soul, the spirit, that's the life that God gives us that kind of infuses everything else that we do. Our physical life, our mental, our relational life, our soul is what fills that and gives purpose and meaning to all of that. And we can get caught up in the desires of the flesh that actually make our soul, that which actually is the center of our being, it can make it to become shriveled up and less full of life. And it actually will begin to show up in the symptoms in our body and in our mind and in our relationships and the rest of that. Abstain from the desires of the flesh that wage war. I mean, that's strong language. Wage war against the soul. And I think of a friend of mine, a great family life, a wife he loved, who loved him, children, a great job. He ended up being on the road a fair amount, a lot. Needed companionship, you know, just companionship. And yet that desire for companionship led yet to something else. And suddenly he found himself in a place where everything he really cared about was being lost. I thank God that they were able to work it out. But the desires of the flesh led him down a path that was going to actually kill what he really cared about. We're waging a war here. We need to know that this is not insignificant. That the temptation for us to go in a direction that's away from God's call in our lives is dangerous. God has a great purpose and a love for us. He wants to see us flourish in our lives. And we can get caught up very easily if we're not careful in going the wrong way. You know, for me, if you get the Salem app, you read this in the devotional back earlier in the week. One of the stories that came to my mind as I was reflecting on this is back in seminary when I had a part-time job. And they liked the work I did, which felt good. They said, we want to put you in a supervisory role. Add a few hours and up your pay. And I'm like, that sounds pretty good. I like all that. More money, leadership role. And I talked to one of my professors about it, and he said, well, you know, you're going to have to slow down on going through seminary here. You know, what do you think God's, what's your long-term aim here? What is it that God's calling you to do with your life? And I said, well, he's calling me to ministry. Okay, is slowing down your process to get into ministry a good idea or not? And he didn't tell me what to do, although he kind of did. But it made things clear for me. Like, money's not a bad thing. Making more money if you have the opportunity, that's not necessarily a bad thing. Being in a leadership role, being able to influence, being able to do, that's all. But what's God calling you to do with your life? That's the only question. And for me, at that point in my life, I had to abstain from what were pretty good things to pursue God's call in my life. It's important for us to know that the choices for us are not always between something that's obviously horrible that we would know is bad and something that's fantastic. That sometimes it's choosing, I'd really like to do this, it'd be good for me in all kinds of ways, it'd be fun, it'd be da-da-da-da-da. And I need to take time for prayer. I need to go to church today. I need to get involved, not just in earning money, but in volunteering, serving in society in some way. I need to get involved in church, not just as a person who is, what's the word, consuming, but a person who's participating in the ministry, the mission of God here. The list goes on for us. Abstain from the desires of the flesh that wage war against the soul. And then he goes on and he says, conduct yourselves honorably among the Gentiles. And I love that idea of conducting yourselves honorably. It might be a good word for us right now today in the society we're living in. Might it not be? You know, we're hearing a lot about things people did 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. That we're not very honorable. and they're catching up with them. It's a good reminder for us to live each moment, each day God gives us honorably. It doesn't mean that we're not going to take a stand, that we're not going to fight for justice, that we're not going to work for those who are disenfranchised in our community. But it means we're going to do whatever we do honorably, right? In a way that brings honor to God. I've thought about, I've had this conversation with a number of people going through difficult times in their lives, and it's all difficult. The relationships are difficult. People are coming at them. And what we've talked about is how at the end of the day, when you come through this, and you will get through this ultimately, you want to be able to look back and say, I did it with the best integrity I could. You won't do it perfectly, but to the best of your ability, do it with honor. To the best of your ability, live at peace with all people. Peter's going to go on in the following verses to talk about what it means in that society, that culture at that time, to live with honor in their work relationships, in their marriages, actually even for slaves with their masters. I want to be really careful here because as we learn and grow and we see the culture changes, it means a different thing for us to live honorably as we grow in our understanding. And yet, even in the midst of all of that, the idea of living with honor. You know, I think of Martin Luther King Jr. He wasn't going to stand, so to speak, for the injustices that we see in our society. But he called us to work for justice among ourselves in an honorable, even as he would say, loving way, to love our enemies as ourselves. You know what I'm talking about? Imagine the witness that this could be for our world. If we took stands, if we got involved, if we worked for peace and justice in our communities, and we did it with honor, rather than the kind of vitriol and anger that spews out so often, we should look a little different. And then finally, he says this, conduct yourselves honorably among the Gentiles so that though they malign you as evildoers, they may see your honorable deeds and glorify God when he comes to judge, or it can be translated, when he comes to visit. And it's an interesting thing to think that we should be living our lives, conducting our lives with a view to the future, right? That things are going to change. This world is not always going to be the way it looks today. That we need to live today with an eye to the future. That it's going to be different. And we live with that future in mind. It reminds me of back when I was growing up. We'd go to my grandmother's house along Chesapeake Bay. And we'd go walking along the beach. And we'd come to these big cliffs made out of clay. We'd go walking along them when the tide was out. But we had to be really careful because we knew the tide would come back in, right? And so we went, we had fun, we climbed around, and we kept an eye on the tide because we needed to be back to the beach before it came in. I've got some good news and, well, some news that ought to at least put us on the edge just a little bit. Jesus is coming back. God visits this world. He's going to visit at the end of it all, but he also visits us along the way. And we need to live. We've got to live. We've got to conduct ourselves with that in mind. So that when Jesus appears before us, when we appear before Jesus, he'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. So that those we lived among might say to Jesus, we saw them caring for us when we were the least and we were the lowest. When Jesus himself will say, I was the least and I was the lowest and you cared for me. So I want to invite you, I want to encourage you, I want to challenge you to get your head up, to get it together, to live this life that God has given us to live. This is our one big chance, and it begins today. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for this chance, this opportunity, this life you've given us. By the power of your Holy Spirit, with the encouragement of our brothers and sisters, help us to live it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.